convoluted, and the way that you were talking about that, red button, I love that sound. Every time we hear that, it just makes my heart feel
right.
warm.
Right?
No. But welcome to I'm Not Supposed to Be Here.
I thought you were gonna keep talking.
I was ready, but I gotta give the audience a little acknowledge their presence. They're just like, you can't talk over me. You can't talk over my listening.
Oh, hi people. Welcome back to I'm Not Supposed to Be Here.
Yeah.
Once again, I am Trent L. Dixon. And again, I'm joined with
Omari.
Hey.
Omari Carter.
Welcome in.
Yes. To live. Yes. I'm a photographer and a lo-fi artist. Please go bump the Echo Chamber on Spotify.
Yes.
By Slow Rewind. That's my name. Please, please, please. I'm begging you.
It was really good. It was
the
really good.
I liked it. He's begging people.
I liked it a lot.
Rafael?
Oh, yep. That's me. I'm a biologist and happy to be here.
Yeah, hey,
and we also got my co-host.
We also got, you know, Eclectic Sage.
Hey.
I was gonna use the Eclectic Sage when I first started, but I was like, that's too much.
Are there more than one?
There's a lot of, like, when I was picking out my name, there were a lot of sages. So, like, there was shout out to Wale the Sage. There's somebody called Casper Sage. So, like, I was just like, all right, I gotta find the sage name, but most people call me Sage. So
there's now, a council.
Yeah, the Council of Sages. You know, we have a thing called the Knights of Good Nature. For Good Nature Souls, and nice. it's been cracking me up. We're gonna have like a little round table meetings and shit.
We do have a Discord too
for those. Oh, we do have a Discord.
We'll get to that later. How's everybody? How's everybody doing?
I'm chilling. We acting like a brand new episode, but we still sitting recording for the last one. But
what do you mean? I haven't seen you guys in like a month. What are you talking about?
I mean, it's been like 3 years, man.
My unibrow then came in and I had to shave it through. I love ad-libbing on the fly too.
So I discovered recently that I had a superpower.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, I have the power of invisibility.
Whoa.
But there's some conditions.
Okay.
I'm only invisible on the subway.
Oh yeah.
And in small elevators.
Small elevators is crazy.
No, because I had this incident, right?
Yeah.
During Black History Month,
this way. Yes, how dare they?
No
get
way!
Me
this is when you're supposed to be most visible
during Black. No, but it's weird. And I was talking to the homie at work about it, and I kind of figured out the root of it. But anyway, so I was on the train, as you know, and it wasn't crowded yet.
Yeah,
but people ran in, and this girl was super close to me, like too close. She was touching me.
Oh no.
And like every time she moved, I felt her.
Yeah.
And she didn't notice. Only reason her friend noticed because she kept throwing her her scarf over her shoulder.
Oh no.
And I had to move my face to not get hit. And her friend was like pointing at me, and I just kind of looked at her, and we all started laughing. But it's kind of this reoccurring thing, and it probably happens to everybody. But like even when trains aren't crowded, like people get way too close to me. They're like, I get a lot of butts on me.
Oh no!
Like seriously,
I think because you're taller too.
Yeah, that too. But I want to say that too because I used to ride that elevator.
Oh my goodness!
Damn, I got to mark. I gotta take that out.
Oh
but
man,
we'll take it.
We don't give them no airtime.
Airtime for you.
Damn, forget
everybody. Forget I said that. But yeah, no, and I realized it's because I have what I call little brother syndrome. I think it comes from a lifetime of continuously making myself smaller in situations. You know, like I'm very like I can stand out and at the same time disappear in crowds. You know, but that's I think that has become my energy. Like
you gotta be big brother. You know?
Yeah,
you gotta be big brother. No Orwell.
Yeah, no. I mean, I am the youngest, and that is kind of the family dynamic. I was always kind of the quiet one, the peacekeeper. I'm always neutral in my family when there's beef.
Yeah,
and so I was thinking about that and how that came to be, but I'm trying to change that this year.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to take up more space. You know, take up more space.
In a positive
space.
Way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I'm not trying to step
being
on
being a bigger person, but not also trying to lessen things down. It's very complicated. It's hard.
It is.
You know,
it is.
Are you proud of your power, or how have you been experimenting with it?
I love the way you said that.
I appreciate that. I've been seeing how long it takes for people to notice me when I don't make myself smaller, you know. Yeah. So instead of moving out of the way, I will, like, I read on the train too, and I'll hold the book to my chest, but people will still, and then I'll move it. So for that instance, I didn't move it with this white lady got on the train, and she bumped it. She turned around and she was like, "Oh my God, there's a black person out of nowhere. Where'd you come from?" And she kind of moved. But I've been doing things like that. I've been like not moving.
Yeah.
And it's not like I've been taking up any extra space, although I know I'm big and I look like I take up a lot of space.
No,
but I haven't been taking up like extra space. I've just been kind of standing firm in the space that I've claimed, you know, honestly, and making sure there's enough for everybody else.
Yeah, honestly, I think doing that is like super important, especially for Black History Month. Like, just taking up a little bit more space in like proper ways, like even for like my hair. Like, hair was just like, I was bald for most of my life, and just being able to, I'm sorry, Trent.
No, bro, do you remember they used to make us cut our hair?
Yeah, they used to make us cut our hair at our school.
But if you had straight hair, you could keep it long.
Yeah, if you had straight hair, you could keep your hair.
That's
to say nothing of skin color.
Private
you already
school,
know.
Private
yeah.
school or?
Yeah, we could shout out the school. It was
Wow.
They made us cut our hair short. So
wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I had like very little hair growing up. I think my dad grew into the fact that like it was better because of like the area of work that he did, that it was better that I had shorter hair. But now I have freeform locks. So you tilt the scale one way, you go completely the opposite. is definitely true. You go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
But I used to always be infatuated with the idea of like having an afro and what having an afro has meant like historically, and what is hair and like the significance of it, and like even just hair being very long and very natural and very, very, very large in terms of like volume and afro, just taking up more space in that way. Mm-hmm. Is like super important, because like, and it's like people always want to touch an afro or whatever because it's just like, wow, it's seen as the exotic, and we're allowed to experience the exotic as like a minority, but you know, white populations, other types of ethnicities try to look at the exotic and be like, use it as a type of museum type of thing, like something that you hold or you put like put a pin in the butterfly type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's just like just taking up more space in just small ways, and just acknowledging that there's power in that. Like, there's an acknowledgement of like, I'm here.
It's liberating too, man. It's very liberating, you know, just me having the ability. Like, I'm not gonna lie, man, sitting across the table, I'm happy looking at your hair, man. Yeah. After you told that story.
Yeah, like it was crazy because I've been going to therapy for a little bit just so that I can get ready to take on more responsibilities and come of age and do a healing and stuff. And just, you know, being Black, I think Black people should take therapy and to take
consideration
into speaking with anybody, and just forming a support group of people that just recognize and acknowledge who you are and the space that you take.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was talking to my health professional, and we were talking about like me trying to get a job after completing my computer science degree. Yeah. And you know, mm-hmm. the nature of my hair comes up.
Dude.
And it was just like I had to like stand on business.
Yeah.
I had to take up space. And it was just like, you know, I'm really passionate about my hair. And it's like, for me, the reason why I grew freeforms was because, you know, I wanted to have two trans twist type of manicured locks originally, just to have like the volume, have like a semi freeform look. And, you know, I didn't have anybody that knew how to tailor hair for, like, their family and mm-hmm. in my family, or, like, braid it in the same way. So I had to do it for myself.
Wow.
And so when I was trying to teach her in twist, it didn't work. And then I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just allow my hair to do what it does and go with the journey and just take up as
thug
much space
out.
As possible. Yeah, thug it out and do as much space and manicure and take care of it in this form.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, that was a really beautiful, like, surrendering to that.
Yeah.
And so going into spaces, you know, I'm very qualified. I'm a photographer. I dropped the album during college. I finished my computer science degree.
Talk your shit.
Yeah, graduating is huge. Only 40% of the population.
Yeah, only 40% of the population. When I went to classes, I went to a primarily white college. I was maybe one of two black people in my computer science major.
Damn.
Not very many people. So when it comes to like the pride I have with just the nature of my hair, it's super important because it's just like you don't see that. And it's just like I'm taking up space in spaces where I'm not supposed to. And that is a form of protest for me. So that is a form of experiencing and taking up and not kind of suffering from like big brother syndrome in that way.
I'm very happy for you, man. You know, like being younger, I was always given the choice of light seas or dark seas, what you want.
Yeah, it's the thing as a kid, it's just like they shave you bald. You and know, like a lot of that has roots in slavery. Like when they brought them over the boat, it didn't matter what tribe you were, everyone had their head shaved and then that was your new identity.
You know, and I'm sorry to bring it back to my security, but you know, when I first started, I worked for
I thought you were gonna shout the way.
You treat me right, but
did you see the way his lip folds?
I got hungover one night. It was actually I think after Thanksgiving, one of my aunts is like crazy. So sorry, Monty, you know which one you are, but she threw like Tito's. Everything, Hennessy, just a one big batch, threw some Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Like, just, I thought, like, she was a teenager. I'm like, come on, Auntie, this is gonna kill somebody. But, unfortunately, I took a few sips and I woke up hungover the next night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just had the pounding headache. And I was just like, dude, do I wanna really be here for the rest of my life? Because I was out of school for almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
I only owed the school $2,000. It wasn't a lot of money. Like I said, got the scholarship money. I blew it on Polaroids, food.
Yeah.
Like, kept blowing the money. It took me a really long time not to blow money.
Yeah.
And that was even a problem for me to save it. So it's like, it's really.
But that's what happened. I think you should be allowed to do that when you're growing up and just be like, yo, because, I mean, if you come from a state like, sorry to cut you off, but like, come from a state of like not really using money and then somebody gives you lump sums, it's like one extreme from being bald to like free forms. It's like one extreme to the other, and it forms bad habits that you have to just unlearn again.
And I was an on-call guard, so sometimes I'll be getting $172 a week. The next day I might be getting $700.
Wow.
Like, just because of the overtime.
Yeah.
So, I would just go crazy. So I really quit the job while I was working. So I was like, I'm done. So I'm now banned from that company. I cannot get a job from that company ever again. And then I went to a new job called. I did that last October, and then nobody look up my Indeed application. It's not gonna be there. It's probably not.
We got private our LinkedIn now.
They had a policy at the time. I don't know if you guys ever have me on Instagram.
Yeah.
But you can see my hair is red on there. You know, I wanted to be like Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, shout out Dennis Rodman. Yo, if I could marry myself, I would. But like, I dyed my hair red, and my mom, she liked it, but she also, I don't know if it was generational, kind of looked at it a funny way, but it kind of gave me a chance to express myself, and I loved it.
Yeah.
But the new job was like, oh, you can't have dyed hair. Mind you, at the time, my hair was black. I already cut off the hair.
Yeah.
I went to Thanksgiving the year before that, and my uncle see me, he's like, oh, you need a haircut.
Yeah.
Dark Caesar brought me way back, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, wow. Things don't change.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to my uncle, but it was very weird
getting
that haircut, especially with the NBA Olympics on, you know.
Yeah.
In the barbershop. It's like in a place where we're watching black men at their peak, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
LeBron James, Stephen Curry. I don't know if Steph Curry counts as black, but Kevin Durant.
That's funny.
Yeah. Getting black men at their peaks. I'm watching it on TV. I'm getting my liberation taken away. So it was very weird. So I quit that job last week, and I've been thinking about, do I want to get the hair done again? You know?
Yeah.
I look, I'm a little musky over here, but.
Honestly, I say. You know, give it a try. You never know. And there's always places that accept you for who you are. Especially, that's one privilege that I do take advantage of for being in the state of New York. There's always a place willing to hire you regardless of what's going on. Just as long as you're competent, as long as you're able to navigate, as long as you take up space in the proper way. And you don't have to diminish yourself to do that. I remember now I work in like a golf apparel, and there was this person that was like a reporter, and he tried to test my authenticity in that space. And this is why I use a lot of golf references in my music. Because he was just like, oh, so you play golf? Huh. Yeah, it was a microaggression in that way. Yeah, very common. And but I mean the owners and the store manager definitely like brought it to his attention, like you can't say that.
Shout out Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger Woods, but taking up spaces in places where you're not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Speaking to the theme of the title card.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah, but you know, that's super important to me. That is like the main thing.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, it comes with its own challenges, but just, you know, your presence being acknowledged is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Shouts out to parents too. Going back to, you know, your mom being worried about your hair, and you know, I'm pretty sure in a perfect world she would love for you to have whatever hair, and I'm glad you're thinking about going back to it. But you know, I just that's just sort of a thing parents do, you know, because they want what's best for us. They want us to prepare. They want to prepare us for the world out there. You know, if you're black, you can't be weird. You can't be this. You can't be that, because you're gonna get pushback. You know, fortunately, we live in a time where you can be weird. You know, being off is kind of the norm now. Like when I was growing up, you know, as the older bald gentleman I am, it wasn't acceptable to like comic books. You know, I've spoken to this before, so I'm not going to get too much into it. But I now I love it. Like it's part of pop culture. It's like cool to you know. Shouts out to the MCU and Christopher Nolan. You know, all the people that made it popular. But I just wanted to speak to that and to. You know, to send praise to your mom for at least caring enough to try to say something.
She's
a
very caring mom. Shout out to mom.
Yeah. Shout out to parents too. They really just, a lot of it, even if you feel like, this is directly for your like kids, like if you directly feel like, like they're just against me, no, it's because like the world has been against people in a lot of ways.
Especially black people.
And especially black people. So take that into consideration. Take what they're listening to. You don't have to agree. You don't have to really, not to say follow, but, you know, believe the same things that they can believe. Because when you believe different and you're able to support your beliefs and build a community around that, you can create that change that you want to see. Like, and a lot of it plays into, like, it's not just a cliche platitude. Like, for instance, you said that you saw, like, the NBA. It wasn't because, like, you know, it got integrated because like white people felt like adding black people to the league, it was because it was a financial benefit.
Yes.
And then that kind of played out over time, and now we are able to see it. So at the same time, that reality manifests on the TV and is just as true in that barbershop chair. And it's just like closing that distance between that and playing strategically. Like, if I get placed here, how do I get placed in this position to job? How do I put myself in a position where I am that one black student in the room, but I know I'm capable. Yes. So now I can go into the world, and now I can tell my friends, hey, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. You don't necessarily need the degree. You can get a job off of this, learn this language, learn this, become a fine skills person. At the end of the day, somebody's going to be stressed out enough to just hire you. Now you have a whole industry of people that are just themselves in a space. And it's just slow, but hard progress, and also just pushing the needle of what's acceptable.
Raphael, I used to, when I first started photography, you know, NYU, the campus, you know, it's like literally a community. Yeah. I used to go around there with my Polaroid and just take pictures. You know, used to call it playing gentrifier, because I used to throw on a Tommy Hilfiger polo, a white polo, and like, you know, all these brands that I honestly don't care about, but I just wanted to look like them. And just take pictures. So can you tell me about the how life on campus and how you take up space over there with the
That's super important.
Yeah, that's been on my mind heavy for the past couple of weeks, because with applications coming in for programs and shit. Like for context, let's take the field of ecology. It's 95% white, like in terms of demographics. So like in my case, in my lab, even biology is not that much better. There's not a lot of other people who look like me or come from a similar background. Like that's a crazy point too, right? Because the people who we're around are from places all around the world. It's a melting pot, but it's amplified in that area. So walking down the street, you pass, you know, the daughter of a Russian, you know, what are they called? A private military company, you know, or you pass the business owner or the son of the president or, you know, XYZ people. And to be in classes with them, to be working aside, like beside them, knowing that, like, you know, some of these people are millionaires, their families are millionaires. And I'm sitting here like,
I'm a kid from Bronx.
What am I doing here? But reminding myself, like, or actually, you know, I have some good friends in the department who remind me of this. It's like, I'm here because I belong here. You know, I put the work in, I put that shit in, and I should take up this space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's the important part. Like, we have a culture of deference, right? And it first came to mind when you were talking about your story in the beginning, Trent, about this idea that there's an expectation for us to move out of the way, for an expectation for us to behave, to step off the street, to step onto the curb or whatever it is. It's 2025.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah. And another thing is, like, the myth of the, when you bring it up, is, like, the myth of the cosmopolitan. And it's just, like, you know, cosmopolitan cities, you know, it's just like a city that everybody from the world is there. But in order for us to kind of like interpret that in the past, it was just like, you know, you'd have, in order for us to interpret that in the past, you'd have like different people from different backgrounds, but it'll be a flattened version of them without really, and still being like a white kind of dominated structure.
There's a tokenization effect.
And a tokenization is just like, oh yeah, I'm black, but I have like this specific trait and I represent this entire side of a continent or this entire side of a place. And it's just like that the lack of your presence in the space, in a cosmopolitan space, is making it so that you represent whole regions of the world. Like, it's crazy that politically in the United States, people had to defer to being Asian. And it's just like,
you're talking about like the Chinese exclusion.
Yeah, Chinese exclusion.
Immigration for 50 years.
Yeah, banned immigration for 50 years. Then during the 60s, you know, you have different populations coming from maybe the Philippines, from Vietnam, from maybe China now, or maybe Japan, and going to specific sectors because of interest convergence, which is what I talked about with the Olympics, where it just made financial sense. So you need nurses, you go, it makes financial sense to get nurses from maybe the Philippines.
Yes.
It makes financial sense to take people from here. Hey, the Japanese were able to modernize under our kind of imperial rule. And so
they got colonized.
Yeah, and they got colonized and they were able to make certain technologies for us. So let's put them in the technology center. Let's put them in banking. Let's put them in finance and let's allow them in these spaces. You created a cosmopolitan society, but like you tokenize them, you still have that kind of deference that you're talking about, that kind of like close out type of mentality. And it's just like, we can address that by just allowing more people into the space as themselves.
But you gotta remember who's dictating who gets allowed in. They're not, it's not as if we can just walk in. It's like we have to fight our way in a lot of the cases.
Definitely for sure. It's not just like an easy, like, you know, you just walk on campus. Like, for example, like, for NYU specifically, not to give them out any credit, or Ivy Leagues in specific, this goes for NYU, Columbia, Harvard.
Well, NYU is technically not part of the Ivy League. But
yeah, technically
Ivy
not.
Adjacent.
Ivy League adjacent.
Tuition is.
Tuition is disgusting.
Tuition is disgusting, but that's a whole different thing. But like domineering forces and, you know, the leaders of college level or collegiate level education, a lot of them kind of give and convey this notion of cosmopolitanism and having campuses of the world, universities that encompass the universe, but without really, you know, taking people from places. So they may take a person from, you know, the Bronx if, you know, you're in Duke, but if you're in the same city as NYU, that's not cosmopolitan, it's local. So when they look at your application, they want somebody from Russia, not you.
Yeah,
they want somebody from.
Well, they took
places.
Me.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, yeah, they did. But in general, like the population of people in New York, like there's not really enough representation of local New Yorkers getting into NYU or NYU doing local programs to local schools or to local things?
Yeah, to give some details. So for my class, freshman year of my undergrad, our demographic, the two largest groups in the College of Arts and Science were people from Los Angeles and then people from New York. So there was like 709 people from LA.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, like in the high 600s for people from New York. And then the rest is all international. And that's the main block, right?
But, yeah.
We have more LA people, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, it's like, it's just because it's exotic. Yeah. And it's like the myth of the exotic, the myth of not really taking up a lot of space.
I think half are international students too, half of the students.
Yeah. And don't you pay more if you're out of state?
Oh, you pay so much
more. Oh, you pay so much more. So the financial incentive is the thing too.
And if you're international, you get almost no financial aid or anything like that.
Yeah, so.
You got to remember NYC TAP. You know?
Yeah, so it brings in like the richest people you've ever seen. Like,
people who have money to dump just because the experience itself is the selling it.
Yeah, and it's just like if entities are creating brands off of just the exploitation of we can just take this rich man's money from XYZ place in the world and just boost our kind of self here, it plays a big part and factor into some of the inequalities that we see in higher education in terms of spaces when somebody actually makes it to that degree field, when people make it to these spots in terms of getting put into these jobs, in terms of having to take the subway and getting like.
And then there's the roadblocks. Like, we only just got rid of SAT tests, which we know. I mean, the guy who made them, it was explicit in the mentioning that their purpose was basically to... It was eugenics. It was to disenfranchise people from non-white communities who couldn't express whiteness, you know, through the lens of language or through the questions that they asked properly, right? So we only recently got rid of that when we knew this for years, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, hey, it wasn't even until... like a crazy reason. It was mostly the fact that like they caught rich people cheating. So even it was even like, you know, we know this is the thing. It was just like to the point, like the public opinion was just like, realistically, this is the most egregious case we've ever seen in the public. And we knew this was happening. So like the quiet part got let out loud and it was just, all right, we're just going to keep on milling and push this law out.
Yes.
But you know, there's a thing called stratification, and it's just like, you know, there's a lot of roadblocks. I was talking to Molly and I was just like, yeah, you know, when I was in high school, you know, the reason why I went to the high school I did was because in my elementary school, it was like, you know, if you're not in 801 and 802, you are not getting those Regents tests. You are not getting those.
What is that, like an honors club?
It was like the unofficial honors. Yeah. So it was just like, because of your standardized test scores, you just got put in those classes. But mind you, I was in the school with the same kids having the same 90s and the same grade.
You want to know the craziest part? Sorry to cut you off. You know, my educational background, I know we're a little running out of time. I'm going to make this quick. I skipped the third grade when I was younger. And I remember... my weird thing is that I learned quickly. I feel like it messed me up psychologically. I learned way too fast. But I don't decipher quickly.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, during the fifth grade, I remember sleeping every day. I would come to class and sleep and sleep and sleep. And the teacher would wake me up, Omari, what's the answer to this question? I'll just answer it in 5 seconds, put my head back down. Like, I had no respect for anybody. And then... the test came, the state test, when we still had those. I don't know if they got rid of those, the state test.
No, that's still happening.
I just didn't do it. I slept on it, you know? And
the
principal literally had the call. He was like, no, like, he has to do this or he will not go to the next grade.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, was yelling at my mom. Like, this kid has to do something. Like, he just sleeps in class all day.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, feeling like I was almost too smart for the system. And that was a lot of ego.
Yeah.
But it was also, like, very weird knowing, like, imagine telling a kid, like, hey, you know, you're smart, but you're not there yet. You're not where we
are. Or smart in the right way.
Smart in the right way. And that's what I feel. It's very weird. It was weird, like, seeing that, because, you know, I don't like bringing it up, skipping the third grade. It feels like a weird flex sometimes, but... I think it dramatically messed with my head a bit, because seeing all those kids taller than me, you know what I mean? Like, they answered the questions before me. It gave me like, not an ego.
No, you're valid. I have a friend who went through the exact same thing where he skipped a grade, you know, because he was smarter. And he sort of felt displaced. You know, he felt really disconnected from the people around him because they were older
and they looked different. And, you know, yeah. All of those you know, things.
One of the craziest things, I would sleep during recess. I remember like up from sixth to probably eighth grade, probably middle eighth grade, because I met my friend, close friend Logan. Shout out Logan.
Shout out to Logan.
Shout out to Logan. But I would just sleep. I would just sleep during recess, and it was very weird. People would like just ignore me. I would just like cross up my legs and just sleep. Like I remember hearing a teacher over comments say, "That's the weirdest kid I ever met. I never met a kid sleep during recess."
Yeah. That's crazy that she would say that shit out loud.
That's in the Bronx, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I have experiences like that with teachers too. Same. Having grown up there.
Same. But I was saving it for the for the school episode.
I know, for school episode, that's going to be interesting. It's
going to be wild. I can't say her name, but do you remember a certain...
Oh my gosh, don't get me started on that class. I had her seventh period, and every time it was just we were in the same class, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, listeners. I know I'm screaming in your ear, but like that class was like mind-boggling. The way like it'd be seventh period of the day, I'm liable to lose a pencil every day. It'll be like, "Do you have a pencil today, Christian? Do you have a pencil today?" It'll be like little like minute type of things, but it's just like, why do I have such a lens on me like that?
Yeah.
But I will credit that class for one thing. I remember we had to do some type of like Shakespearean sonnet or whatever, and it was like using iambic pentameter, and it was just like, I don't know, it made me a better writer. And like I do credit like the Black History Month MLK poem that I did in like an iambic pentameter. I forgot what type, I think it was a sonnet or whatever. And I did the exact rhyme pattern, and I was just like, you know what, I can actually like do this for myself. Like, this is really, really good. And I credit that.
We got blessed with a good education, despite some of the glaring issues with despite how we were taught.
Cut your hair, which pisses me off.
Oh, that's the tip of the iceberg.
But also, my hair was short, so I was shielded from some of that as a part of my parenting. That's why I was like, as the tip thing, you don't know what you don't know. But I wish I would have had long hair. It would have been more cool. I would have had like two strand twists. Like, I've only ever had free forms.
And the beard thing. They didn't let us have beards either.
Oh my gosh. Wow. But also that prepared me too, because I remember I had a sushi job. The sushi job made me shave my face. And I remember being so mad because I shaved it one time. And I was like, all right, I just need the money for whatever. So I was like, all right, I'll shave it. And worst decision ever. This is why I'm like super adamant, but like I'm just approaching work as I am. Because I shaved it, and then it had like a shadow. Like, it was one day after shaving, and they're like, "You need to shave again." I was just like,
"That's crazy."
I was like, I literally looked at the boss directly in the eye. I was like, "You gotta let the hair come out the follicle first. Like, I can't shave it any lower." And he was just like, "You could just wear your mask if you want to." So every day I just wore my mask and just stopped cutting my hair.
Wow.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Wow.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But,
I mean, that's the good thing about being an adult. You can wear your hair wherever the hell you like. Without fear of the school cutting it. Now you have to deal with your job. But we're going to bring this episode to a close.
I know we do.
Shout out. Thank you. I know, right?
Thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. Raphael, beautiful meeting you. Sage, appreciate you having me on, my guy. Polaris' biggest star.
Yo, I'm Polaris' biggest star. Man's giving the preview. I'm Polaris' biggest star, man.
My guys.
The brightest star, man.
Shout-outs. Thank you, Swift.
Thank you to you guys. Thank you to, you know, for making this happen, for making this thing happen. We got to do this again. This is fucking amazing.
So much fun, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I got to do this again. I'm trying to make this
so
we can
do it tomorrow.
Shout out, Shred?
Shout outs to all the people in my life, all the books that I read, all the comic books that I read, all the shows that I watched that taught me that being who I was enough and allowed me to take up more space. Yeah.
Facts.
And my mom.
Yes.
Hi, Mom.
I guess I'll say thank you to all the archivists, all the people that are trailblazing in new spaces that they're not supposed to be in. And, you know, the archivists in particular for making sure that our history is preserved. Even in times where, you know, it's really difficult to keep our histories, because if you have a point of reference where you did it before, there's no reason why you're not doing it now in a positive way. So, yeah. Big shout outs, big thank yous. And I guess it's the outro this time. All right. All right. You've been a wonderful invisible audience.